brother. What's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Connor. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
Yeah. Well, you'd be doing better if it was Friday.
Wouldn't we all be?
Yeah. But anyway, good morning to everybody. And I have a special guest this morning. And you know, this is a man who is a candidate for the Democratic side of the United States Senate. He is a man that I've had on several times, and I think he's a man who has earned the right to appear on the airways again and again and again, and I would extend an invitation to him even after, you know, the election coming up in a week or so. I think what he's accomplished, his sacrifices in his life, the impact that he's had on other people's lives, he warrants. His opinion should be valued by all. I want to welcome back to the airways my good friend, Dr. Darrell Williams. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning, sir. It is an honor to be back on the show, especially at this time with all the events that have taken place over the past week or so. So, it's just an honor to be back on and discuss some of these issues.
Yeah, let's begin, Dr. Williams. Your campaign is still going.
And I want all the viewers to know that I am still on the ballot and still in the race. As you know, there's been quite a few people who have dropped out. Mr. Lazary, Sarah Gladuski, and Tom Nelson. So the people who are in the race now is Mandela Barnes, myself, Darrell Williams, and Peter Pekarsky and Cooley, I believe.
So before we go any further, let's talk a little bit about who Dr. Darrell Williams is.
Yes, I mentioned before on the show before. This is not an Eddie Murphy movie about the name you know or the person who has the most money. And as you see, the person who had the most money in this race is no longer in the race. But I grew up in Abbeville, Mississippi, as a town of about 316 people. Used to pick cotton for two of 100. That's $2 for every 100 pounds of cotton. But I came here to Milwaukee to teach. I taught here in Milwaukee Public Schools and was an administrator for over 22 years, was selected National Principal of the Year, and was interim superintendent of schools in Beloit for 4 years. And I joined the Army when I was 16 years old, served this country and this state for 29 years, and two tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, and received the Purple Heart Bronze Star Medal, and was appointed as emergency manager for the state of Wisconsin by Governor Evers. That is the lead state agency that deals with natural and man-made disasters. We serve as the heartbeat of the COVID-19 response and civil unrest action within this state. And I work with MATC as an adjunct instructor for almost 10 years, working in our CBOs, our community-based organizations, and also Genesis, the halfway house for people transitioning from prison back inside the community.
You know, Dr. Williams, you are an absolute treasure in our community, and the impact that you've had on the lives of people are too numerous to even mention. But you made a decision to enter into the game of politics, and you made a decision to, you know, run for a position that generally is for sale, And you really knew going in that the for-profit political industry was going to be a difficult thing to overcome. What have you learned in all this time?
The reason I got into this race from the very beginning is because I really wanted to make a difference on behalf of the people. And everybody always say that, so I want to say it, and not a cliche, but one of the things about it is this. You know, after 27 years in education and 29 years in the military, most folks could say this guy can go sit at home at Fort Living Room and be quiet and not have to get involved. But because of some of the things that I saw with some of the politicians and so forth in my role, I see that they were not fighting as hard as they say they were in front of the camera, behind the scenes inside some of these closed session meetings where the public would never see. So it did not sit right with me, and I said to myself at the end of the night, I have to sleep with me. And I decided to run for this race. But what I've learned over this past year is some of the, you know, I get the politics, and I see some of the politics that have been played. But some of it, Earl, is straight bullshit, to be honest with you. And the thing about it is, with some of the issues that have played itself out recently, especially within the media, as you know, there was a televised debate that had occurred on WTMJ4, and I was not a part of that televised debate. And what ended up happening was, in May, they sent out some criteria to four of the candidates, three of whom are not in the race, but did not inform the other candidates until June 21st about this criteria, and with a deadline to get 5,000 individual signatures to get to be a part of the televised debate. And so when I asked them about that, WTMJ4, I said, so you telling me I got 9 days to get 5,000, not only me, but the four other candidates who are on the ballot to get to be a part of the televised debate? And I said, well, I've never heard of that before, and the other candidates have never heard that. So they sent us the criteria on the 21st, giving us 9 days to get it done with the Democratic convention taking place in La Crosse. And then we ran into the issue, so we were not a part of that debate. So I said, well, what about the 48% of the people at the time in this state who want to see debate and make an informed so they can make an informed decision? I said, how in the world can we expect people to make an informed voting decision when the very people they're being asked to vote for is being denied to them on the larger stage by which they would get a chance to know them? And so, but anyway, they stuck with that. So there are hundreds of thousands of people who did not see all the candidates. And I said, this is a form of legal voter suppression where you can shake the face of what this election looked like by simply hushing the voices of the people on the stage and denying the people of Wisconsin the opportunity to see the faces and hear the voices of the people they're being asked to vote for. WISN Channel 12 said that you cannot be a part of their televised debate, which was normally going to be held today, unless you had $250,000 to be on the stage. So on last week, myself and Peter Pekarsky, who is another candidate, we have held a press conference with WTMJ4, Channel 12, and there were numerous news stations online. And we talked about Peter talked about the legal piece of it, and I talked about the voter suppression side of it at 11 o'clock on July the 29th. And then later on that night at 5 o'clock on the 5 o'clock news, they announced that the debate that was originally supposed to be held today was going to be canceled.
So, Dr. Williams, here you are, a man who has a Purple Heart and a Bronze Star, and put your life on the line for all the different things, democracy, and all the different things that you hear reiterated time and time again over the news outlets, you know. And so let me ask you, after you've seen what you've seen now, and the fact that you put your life on the line, are you a little frustrated at what you saw? I mean, did you expect this to happen in a nation that touts its freedom in the fact that we are above the other nations of the earth when it comes to openness in elections and those kinds of things. I wanted to hear your view. And I think no view could be better than a man who has done what you've done to talk about this nation and what you've witnessed in this last year, politically.
Thing, to be honest with you, I thought about the many conversations I had with our veterans, especially our minority veterans. And one of the things they always a common theme is the very freedom that we fought for was being denied to them. And that's what I kind of felt like. I said the very freedom, the democracy of this nation that I fought for 29 years and in two combat zones, I said, this is being denied to me right here in front of my face.
Right.
And I thought more about it from the perspective of not just myself, but from the very people who we say that we are here to support. And example is this: we sit up here and we talk about the importance of people voting, the right to vote, the importance of knowing the voters and their views and hearing their views. And here it is, the largest venue by which people get a chance to see and hear the candidates and make an informed decision is being denied to them. And so I spoke out. I said it is a injustice to the work and efforts of LULAC, the NAACP, Souls to the Polls, who are out here working day to day for years and have been for years to get people to the polls, especially in our minority communities. But I asked the question, I said, how is it that we can continue to bring souls to the poll when the people that are not even allowed to see the faces and hear the voices of the people who they are expected to vote for? And that's not to take away anything from I understand the power of the vote. I get all that. So I'm not saying people don't go vote. What I'm saying is everybody who is watching and listening, you should be more appalled than I am because you have not been given the opportunity to see the faces and hear the voices of all the people who are even in this race so that you can make an informed decision. And that's important. So I am not frustrated. I'm to be honest with you, Earl, I'm not even discouraged. I'm more encouraged because it just tells me that this is why we need to, revamp and deal with this situation that's at hand. I'm really more upset about it for the people of Wisconsin than I am for myself.
So, Dr. Williams, hang on. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789 on the line. My good friend, Dr. Darrell Williams. He's a candidate for the United States Senate on Democratic nomination. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join us. Be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is my good friend, Dr. Darrell Williams. He is a candidate for the Democratic nomination for the United States Senate. And, Dr. Williams, I know you have kept your nose to the grindstone. I know you've been all over the state repeatedly. Nobody outworks Dr. Darrell Williams. So, people can say, well, it's a Republican issue. Money in politics, that's a Republican issue. You say what to that?
I say it's not just a Republican issue. It's a both party issue because we've sit up here and seen it right here within our very party. And the thing about it is, I mean, the when you get to the root of the money in politics, it's about it really trickles down to how people are being votes are being oppressed. I mean, I know that you and others have heard
about
voter suppression tactics and so forth. And what we have seen right here, even within our own Democratic Party, is how the vote has been suppressed. And I mentioned to the Democratic Party of Wisconsin how important it is to have all voices heard. I wrote an article about it in the Milwaukee Community Journal, and they were silent on that issue. And I know that this might be troubling for some people to hear, but I mean, the truth has to be spoken, and the people's voice has to be heard. And the opportunity by which people's voice is heard, we remain silent. You know, I remember the quote by Dr. Martin Luther King that said that we would not remember the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. And so this is what this is about. So I shouldn't have to have $250,000 just to get on stage. The people of Wisconsin put me on the ballot. And so the forum by which they get a chance to see and hear the candidates, I should be able to be represented on that stage. Now, for me to meet the criteria of the state of Wisconsin to be on the ballot and others, but for the news media to be able to circumvent and make their own rules and determine who can be on the stage is something wrong with that picture. And I mean, I don't see how they are able to circumvent the rules of the state. And the question is, it might be legal for them to do it, but just because you have the right to do it doesn't mean that's the right thing to do. And you shouldn't be able to sway the voices, of opinions of hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites simply by keeping, you know, our faces out of the media and off the stage by which the people get a chance to see and make an informed decision.
So let me say this to you, Dr. Williams. It is clear that you and the other four who were denied access had to get signatures in order to even wind up on the ballot. How many signatures were those?
At least 2,000 signatures, and I submitted, and others submitted way more than that.
Right. So,
and Earl, I'm gonna tell you this here. You know, and I mentioned this to all the candidates, so this is just not for your show. And I told all the candidates this, even the ones that's still running. I said, look here, I brought this issue up at one of the forums, and I asked them ahead of time. I said, look here. I said, it should be all eight in the debate or nobody should be a part of the debate. Because I said, if you are a part of this debate, knowing that the voices of people on this stage are being suppressed, I said, you are part of the very voter suppression that you claim to be against. And I said, and what you're doing is hushing the voices of hundreds of thousands of people. So don't get up in front of this camera and say that you support the people's right to hear all voices and all this when you're really a part of the very voter suppression that you're saying that you're against.
You know, Dr. Williams, you and I know one of the main reasons why they wanted to cut down the number of people who were going to be on that platform is because you saw, as I saw, the last presidential, debates for Democrats and Republicans. 17, I think, at one given time, Republicans were running for the nomination to become the nominee for the president of the United States on the Republican side. And I don't know, Democrats might have had 12. But the fact of the matter was, they were there. And so they were given that opportunity. So what was different about that than about here in the state?
That we made. And the thing about it is, there's fewer candidates in this race. And so this was very doable in all of our opinions, and especially when we spoke up on behalf of the people of Wisconsin. And keep in mind, we have traveled this state and had many forums where all the candidates have been afforded the same opportunity to speak. And there's value in that. WTMJ4 was the first venue out of this whole year where all the candidates were not included. Even they were there whenever we had the Democratic convention in La Crosse, and there was value in that because they heard it. They heard all the speeches, and it's all online. And I said, we should afford the people of Wisconsin that same opportunity. And I asked them, why would you all deny the people of Wisconsin the opportunity that was afforded to you to hear our voices? And this is key.
You know, Doc, I wanted to go into, and we're coming up on a break, so but we can begin. I'll tell you what I want to ask you. We've got about a minute, and you can think on it. But so all of these, the last week and a half, the top three. Well, yeah, the top three money. Well, not the top three money, because Tom Nelson didn't have, he spent $1.4 million. But two of the top three money, you know, people dropped out within a couple weeks of one another. I want to ask you what took place in your mind. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 on the line. My good friend, Dr. Darrell Williams, a candidate for the United States Senate nomination on the Democratic side. We'll be right back.
You know, I know they mentioned that, you know, because of the Marquette poll and so forth. But there was, I mean, I want people to keep in mind, there's still 30%, 36% of the people who said they were unsure and undecided. So this race is still, was then and is still, a toss-up. And the fact that just because they dropped out of the race, that doesn't, and endorsed Mandela Barnes, that doesn't mean that that's the best candidate. He's the best candidate in this race. This is why we went to WISN 12 and said, look, let's continue on with this debate. Yes. And they refused to do so and just decided to cancel it, which really is more of a slap in the face to every Wisconsinite who is still undecided and unsure, because what they do is try to show one or two faces whenever they're talking about candidates, and then they show some black boxes or some black dots that's supposed to represent the rest of us.
Doc, would you say it's a capitulation to the Democratic Party?
There's definitely some involvement and some relationship there, because we should be neutral as a Democratic Party until after the primary. And as you have seen, in a very unprecedented and move that our own Democratic Party has made the decision to endorse Mandela Barnes before the primary. And which is really, I mean, I've heard some other radio personalities talking about this on yesterday, and were really sickened by the action that had taken place. And this is unknown to any of the other candidates who are still in the race, and really slapped in the face to the other candidates who are still in the race for our own Democratic Party to endorse any candidate before the primary, especially. As the race is still going on and we're still out here campaigning. And so this is unusual and unfortunate, but it's still, the people of Wisconsin still need to know that there are other candidates in the race, including myself, and this is and those 36% of the people who are undecided can still make can still vote and make a difference. Now, the other side of the coin is this. Think about all the thousands of people who may have early voted for the people who have now dropped out of the race. Now they have to go back and request from the Election Commission the opportunity to re-vote. And that doesn't mean that all those people that's re-voting is going to go towards one particular candidate. So this race is still, regardless of all the endorsements and so forth, the major endorsement that I need It's the people of Wisconsin, because everybody, whether you have $1 million or a dime, you have one vote. And I think if people should look at knowledge, experience, and background in these areas that's really critical to us at this time, and not just jump on the bandwagon. And so I think whenever you look at that, I think people would realize that I'm the better candidate.
So, Dr. Williams, I want to kind of change up the flavor of the conversation for a moment. And here you are again, 29 years in the military or 27?
29 years
in the military. Two tours of duty, Iraq, Afghanistan, Purple Heart, Bronze Star. What are your thoughts on what has been taking place with the Republican Party denying the opportunities for people who've been exposed to burn pits? I mean, you were there. You saw all of this. It's in your DNA. You know what fellow servicemen went through and what's happened to them. What are your thoughts about people who would dare, knowing what is happening to fellow servicemen, deny them access to health care?
You know, that's really unfortunate. And I'm going to tell you that this is one of the main reasons, one of the many reasons
that you ran for office, right.
That I ran for this position. And, you know, I was there. Don't burn this. You know, Earl, on top of it.
So Doc, before we go any further, let people know what burn pits are.
The burn pits, if you could think Vietnam like Agent Orange, but for this day and time, over the past 20 years in Iraq and Afghanistan and Southwest Asia, burn pits are those pits where they burn, you know, whether it's, you know, you can have all kinds of stuff in there, feces, ammunition, all kinds of things that explosive ordinances, things that our soldiers are exposed to that causes asthma and all kinds of respiratory and health ailments.
So we dig pits, throw all those things in the pits, and set fire to it.
Well, it's not just us that do it. I mean, you have
the enemy.
Iraqis that are over there, because they are burning all kinds of items to get, you know, to make heat.
Yes.
And this is on top of already a climate where it has the worst air quality, 25 times worse than anywhere in America, the air quality in America. And so when soldiers have come back, many soldiers have complained of asthma, respiratory issues, breathe, all kinds of ailments and that impact their health. And for years, soldiers have put in claims and have been denied. But most recently, I believe it was August 23rd of 2021, where Congress finally approved that soldiers, even if they had been denied, should go back and put a claim back in for the for burn pit exposure. And that was significant. But for almost 20 years, soldiers have been denied, and that was very unfortunate. And think about the soldiers who have died.
Right.
And their families have not received any benefits because of it. And this right here is the unfortunate piece. This is why I say it shouldn't take veterans 5, 10, 15, 20 years to receive compensation for claims and exposures and other ailments that they've experienced as a result of trying to protect this nation. We have to say it more than with our mouth. We have to support our veterans more than just on Veterans Day and the 4th of July and Memorial Day. We have to back it up with some action. And this is one of the reasons why I decided to run. But these are real issues and key issues. And even today, even though Congress has approved it, there are still soldiers who are being denied and taking a substantial amount of time for them to receive appropriate health care.
So, you know, Dr. Williams, Ron Johnson, the current United States Senator, one of the two United States Senators representing the state of Wisconsin, voted no to to making sure that who claims to be more a champion for the military than Ron Johnson? You know, if everywhere you look, he's always photo-opping with the military. He can't say enough about the veterans and all of those different things, and then behind the scenes.
Well, this is one of the reasons why I decided to run, because this is what I saw. A lot of people would sit up there and whenever there's a photo op in front of the camera and say how much they love our veterans and how much they respect it, and, you know, you shouldn't take a knee, and I respect the flag.
Right.
But when it comes time to providing some resources to help our homeless veterans, to help our veterans with mental health, and help them with them and their families with benefits that they have already earned.
Yes.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you this right here, Earl. One of the things that we rarely talk about, but is a big issue. So if I was a Vietnam veteran and I received, you know, whether it's 80% or 100%
disability,
you know, a rating. If you know, because of the lack of mental health services that I didn't receive, let's say if I did something and I ended up landing myself, I was incarcerated. Did you know that if that happens, That 100% 100%
is taken away.
It's taken away and reduced to 10%. So what it does, it really impacts the family as well, and we have to address that particular issue.
Hey, Dr. Williams, hold that thought, because I want to make sure that people hear that. Phone lines are open again at 844-967-2789. My guest is Dr. Darrell Williams. We'll be right back.
I don't know what they do with their lives, but me, I'm still on the road, ahead for another joint. We always did feel the same, we just saw it from a different point of view. Tangled up in blue.
Right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And my guest is Dr. Darrell Williams. And no better, song than God Give More Power to the People. Dr. Williams, we were talking before we went to break. We've seen this before. And, you know, the veterans from World War II, the Philippines, the Vietnam War, you name it. Our nation has not done right by veterans, sleeping under bridges, eating out of garbage cans, the mental stress that happens to people that we send into the theater of war. And somehow we think that it is the way to handle this is saying thank you to a veteran, shaking his hand, and that somehow is our way of thanking them for putting their lives on the line. That's never been enough. And
no, it's not.
Go ahead, Doc.
No, it's not. It's not enough.
It's an insult, really. It's really an insult.
Well, when you see a veteran, and I think most veterans appreciate that initially. But the other side of the coin is this. You know, I was over there fighting two wars with people who were losing everything that they have at home. Because a lot of times, depending on what their salary is, if you're a person who's making $100,000 a year on your civilian job, and you get mobilized, and you are an E3 or E4, of lower rank, you're making less than half of that. You're making less than $50,000 at that time. Yeah, and we're talking 2004 and so forth. But I saw soldiers who lost their homes, lost their families, because their families went on with other people. And right. Because it wasn't there. And so you're talking about fighting the war abroad and the war at home. That is it. Imagine you going and fighting the war and coming back home to nothing. And I remember one soldier who had sent all of his resources back home. And when he got back home, his wife was gone, and he ended up committing suicide. And so these are things that are real-life issues. And if we're going to send a soldier over to war, we have to make sure that their families are not struggling and that they're in the right mental space to go and do the best job to protect democracy here within our own country. And as I was saying earlier, and because we have not provided our servicemen and women with the mental health support that they should have, you know, this contributes to the homeless veteran situation, to incarceration, and then we take their benefits away from them and their families when they are incarcerated, which further contributes to the very demise that we're trying to prevent. We've got to do a better job. And I support, you know, like I said, I support before, you know, Afghan personnel that came here to Fort McCoy, because that body count would have been a lot higher if it had not been for them helping us. I support Ukraine, but I also support the people who are the veterans who have fought for the past 20 years in Iraq and Afghanistan, who live right around the corner from your house, who deserves the same honor and respect from our own country.
You know, Dr. Williams, man, you know, I didn't, when I wanted to have this discussion, and the more I was watching this and reading about the fact that how dare anybody who's an elected official who has not been in the military, who has not been overseas, who hasn't made the sacrifices that the other men and women of this nation have to play the game of politics, and Ted Cruz and Ron Johnson and people of that ilk, and who claim to care about the veterans, and then to play this game. Not only should they be ashamed of themselves, they should be drummed out of office unceremoniously. And any party that plays this game should never be allowed back in power, because wounded veterans die, and you know what I'm talking about. Whose lives have been forever changed, turned inside out and upside down, because our nation decides to send them around the world for things that are deemed to be our public, our interests, the interests of our nation. Not the interest of the particular serviceman or woman or their families. And if you're going to do that, and then their families suffer, and you don't do anything to compensate them. And then, Doc, the worst part about it is those politricksters, their children aren't going.
No. And people are getting... You know, Earl, you know, in the world, you got to think of it like this. The military provides the first line of defense to protect this country. Police officers provide the line of defense to protect our states and every local community. And I support law enforcement to the hill. But, you know, we got to restore that trust and confidence between law enforcement and our community. But here's the deal. So all these veterans, all these people who sit up here swearing how much they love these veterans, and behind the scenes are diverting the resources to support our veterans to other places. It's unfortunate. You got people who are dying, whose families are suffering, and many veterans who are still suffering from the ailments of the impact of Vietnam, the Korean War.
Oh, absolutely.
As a storm, who are right around here that we see every day.
Yes.
And we have got to sit up and we're talking about holding people accountable. Not only do we need to hold people accountable, we need to hold people who are holding the resources accountable to do what's best for our servicemen and women and those in uniform.
You know, Doc, ever since they came up with the volunteer military, things just, it's almost as if those volunteers don't get the respect that they deserve. I mean, after all, they're volunteers.
Yeah.
But when we had the draft, things were a little bit different, right?
Yeah. But Earl, let me share this with you so that the audience knows this. You know, one of the things when people come back from, a lot of times we put in go through the claim process, and a lot of times, you know, the claims come back that I've heard this many times from veterans say that they have were given a 10% disability rating, a Vietnam veteran who've been to hell and back, a 10% rating or 20% rating. Now you got to think about this, because at 20%, if you are married and have kids, your wife and your kids still cannot get your education benefits. You have to be at 30% to get that. So a lot of times people have to fight for years just to get to a 30% rating when they have already earned it because of the extra benefits that come along with that. Any veteran, their kids can, if they have a 30% rating, their kids can go to any Wisconsin school for free. And so this is life-changing. These are life-changing benefits that they have earned that a lot of people don't even know about that could really impact their.
So is that veterans who've been in the theater of war? Is that what that's related to?
No. Any veteran with a 30% rating in the state of Wisconsin.
What does a rating constitute?
So a rating could just say, for example, let's go back to the burn pit. So those soldiers who have been suffering from, from asthma or sinusitis or some other ailment as a result of those burn pits, the VA will give a rating and give compensation for that exposure. So sometimes it could be a 0%, 10%, 20%. All the way up to 100%, depending on the severity of the condition.
And you're compensated financially based on that number.
Yes, exactly.
So, Doc, go ahead, Doc, quickly.
Yeah, I was going to say, so that's important. So at 30%, those additional benefits are there.
Hey, Doc, let me do this. We've got to go. I will reach out to you again because I want to finish our conversation, man. It is frustrating that your voice was not heard the way it should have been heard in all of this. And so that's the pox on the houses of people in this society who base everything on the money part of it. Dr. Darrell Williams, good friend. I'll be reaching out to you again soon, my friend. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back.